Episode 86. You're the apple of my eye, an apple for the teacher. Apple, peaches, pumpkin pie, who is ready? Holler I. Greetings and welcome in to the Patuxent General. I am your host, Jess. This week we hit fall in style. A caramel apple sangria to wet your whistle. A butternut squash pecan casserole to wow you and yours. A bonus update and recap of Amy's maple pumpkin pecan scones. Then we have a chilling submission by podcast pal Piper V. But first, I must thank our Patreon subscribers. These fall foliage fanciers favorably follow our fabulous food fantasies with fervor, fortunately funding our coffers. If you would like to fund our foundation, forward your gaze to the link in the show notes. Otherwise, follow our faces on Patreon.com. Either way, thank you. First, I have an update. This just in. I've been making a good amount of scones this year, and here we are again at that time of year when everybody likes a little pumpkin. So, let's revisit and fix up our maple pumpkin pecan scones. For this recipe, you will need 1 cup toasted pecans, 1/2 pound of butter cut into 1/2-inch chunks, 1 teaspoon cinnamon, 6 cups of flour, 1/2 teaspoon clove, 3 1/2 teaspoons baking powder, 2 teaspoons baking soda, 1/2 cup sugar, 1 teaspoon nutmeg, and an egg for glazing. For your wet ingredients, you will need 3/4 cup mashed pumpkin, 4 eggs, 3/4 cup yogurt, 1 teaspoon maple extract, and 1 cup milk. For the best results, put all your wet ingredients together in a 4-cup measure. First, stir together your dry ingredients. Then, pinch the butter into the flour mix. Mix your wet ingredients together, then add it to the dry mix. Barely incorporate, and then scoop onto a parchment-lined sheet pan and brush with a little beaten egg. Bake at 400 degrees Fahrenheit for about 15 minutes or until lightly brown, and have bounce back when touched in the middle. A little something to go with your pumpkin spice coffee or cider. Enjoy. This next crowd-pleasing pre-made cocktail is seasonal, delicious, and ready for a party. For this cocktail, you will need 2 chopped apples. All of our apples and cider this week come from Barden Family Orchard in North Scituate, Rhode Island. To the Patuxent Village Farmers Market, they bring their mind-blowing apples, cider, cider donuts, and cider vinegar. They carry berries and other fruits of the season. If you are in the area, please check them out. For this drink, you will also need 1 bottle of Pinot Grigio, 1 cup vodka of your choice, caramel if you fly that way, 6 cups of apple cider, and 1 party-sized drink container. Combine all your ingredients into your giant pitcher or punch bowl and let sit for an hour. Then, serve over ice in lovely large wine glasses and raise to your friends to truly enjoy. Apple and butternut hot dish. I can hear you groaning from here. Sure, you like butternut squash, but it is such a pain in the you-know-what wrist to peel and chop them. I don't want to do that, so I came up with another method, especially good on rainy, chilly days like we've had this week. As a matter of fact, mine is whole and in the oven right now. I'll let you know how it turns out at the end. In episode 44, we talked about a no-fuss method for baking a pumpkin, which you could surely use with butternut squash. While I was going down this rabbit hole, I found so many recipes for butternut squash. Salads, casseroles, stuffed, pasta, and by that I also mean squash mac and cheese. Let me tell you that none of them had marshmallows. So fear not, you may leave them aside for today's maple pecan apple butternut squash casserole. Let me mention 2 amazing methods we are not using. 1 is the Barefoot Contessa's warm butternut squash salad. Using roasted chunks of squash, she adds cranberries and nuts to an apple vinaigrette arugula salad. So tempting. The other was a stuffed butternut cordon bleu, Gruyere Swiss and ham with a smashed squash stuffed and baked in its skin. Amazing. But let's get to the point. For today's casserole, I roasted the squash first, whole, then removed the flesh from the skin and the seeds. There are some that eat the skin, but my squash was long in the tooth and had been around the block, so I didn't use it. For this recipe, you will need a good-sized butternut squash, or any squash will do, 2 eggs, salt and pepper to taste, 8 tablespoons butter, melted, 1 1/3 cup of pecans, whole, 1/3 cup maple syrup, 3 apples, peeled, cored, and chopped into 1.5-inch cubes. As I said already, I baked my squash whole. It was done when it was easily punctured by a fork, about 1 hour to 1.5 hours, baked at 350 degrees Fahrenheit. Then I removed it from the oven and let it cool until I could handle it comfortably, about 1/2 hour. I took a metal spoon and scraped off the skin, then spooned out the seeds and the pulp. Feel free to, just like a pumpkin, remove and roast the seeds with salt for a lovely treat. Then I mashed the squash, adding the butter and eggs, a good amount of salt and pepper, and then, when well mixed, the apples. And while the oven preheats again to 350 degrees, let's glaze the pecans. Put the pecans into a small fry pan with the maple syrup. It is important to use real maple. Other syrups act differently when cooked. Simmer until the sauce is thickened by half, about 4 minutes. Put the squash mixture into a lovely bake dish and then cover with the pecans and maple. Spread them evenly, giving a light coating of salt, and then bake for 45 minutes. The result served warm is stunning. Mine is finished right now and came out like a stick to your ribs, hearty, lightly sweet, rich, bright side dish, fully capable to stand by itself for dinner or a showstopper for the holidays. I promise you, it is slamming. I do not like squash. I ate 2 portions, and it tastes like squash. My family ate the entire squash. I challenge you to try it. We will put up a printed version for the Patreons, and you could email me for a copy. Our email is jess@patuxetgeneral.com. Please, try this yummy and simple dish. Enjoy.
I want to tell you about my friend Mike and his Electromagnetic Pinball Museum and Restoration Arcade. It's an all-inclusive place to relax and share anything related to modern pinball, EM pinball, and arcade games. A group of pinball and arcade fans with an addiction to games of all kinds and Lego too. $10 gets you free play on pinball and arcade games all day. You can find them at 881 Main Street, Pawtucket, Rhode Island, or online at www.electromagneticpinballmuseum.com.
And now, a continuation of our House on the Corner series, A Cape Cod Traveler Ghost Story by Piper V. I vacation on Block Island now. Alone. Do you wonder why? Well, I found Cape Cod too crowded. Not with tourists, but with the dead. Good riddance to that house. I'll never go back there again. A well-deserved weekend trip to my then-boyfriend's grandparents' beach house in Cape Cod. On the way, traffic was awful, and we argued, naturally. We had been there a few times together, but this time was different. We were alone, and perhaps not on our best behavior. Along the way, in fact, we stopped to dig for some quahogs for supper, only to be stopped by a local ranger who took our clams, threw them back with a stern lecture about clamming laws outside of Rhode Island. This did not improve our mood, and we made it to the house silently in the dark. I still swear that I saw a light flicker in the building as we approached. Regardless, we made it there, exhausted, thirsty, and already tired of each other's company. A bite to eat and a few drinks later, we try the television, nothing but static, with occasional whispering voices in the background. There is a VCR, and we opt for watching any movie at this point. But after a few minutes, the picture fades to static with the same sounds in the back. Not clear enough to hear words, but you could hear urgent rise and falls of lost conversation, heated conversation. Having had enough, we climbed the addition's ladder to the unfinished wood attic that served as my friend's bedroom since he was a child. All the beams were exposed, with planks for walls, giving the room a skeletal appearance. The old spring bed creaks loudly. I was not pleased at being woken up by every movement throughout the night, and found it difficult to sleep that first night, feeling watched by something. As the shadows closed in on that first night and dreams took me, they were disturbing enough to make me sweat, but I didn't remember them when we woke to the bright, cheery Cape Cod sun in the morning. A perfect, if wearing, day ensued. Sun, sand, and surf, followed by long walks, the gathering of provisions, and more than a few drinks at the pub. By the time we made it back after the walk home, it was dark and we were beat. So we climbed the ladder and fell into a deep sleep. During the night, loud sounds of people talking came up from downstairs and woke me up. I saw that he was gone from beside me and got kind of irritated that he had gotten up and invited people over while I slept. But worn out from the day, I decided to roll over and worry about it in the morning and drift off. Long before the sun, I am awoken again by voices and sounds of people moving about, but this time it is in the attic room itself. My eyes flew open to see two faces inches above my own, menacingly gazing at me, hating me for some reason that I could not fathom. It was a man and a woman in ancient work clothes, dirty from the day's toil. They looked at my partner, then around the room, and then at me. Her curled, dark, auburn hair poking out from where it was so carefully braided. I could smell the fire and the horses in the very room. But I couldn't move, not an inch. Finally, I could close my eyes. Their faces echoed on my eyeballs, and after an eternity, sleep. In the morning over coffee, with the fury of the night before's disturbed sleep in my eyes, I pointedly asked him why he had brought people home last night after I was sleeping, and why had they kept going in and out of the closet in the extension. His face paled, and I thought for a second he might be sick from the day before's debauchery. And then he said, "Let's pack up and talk about it outside the house." He would not speak again until we were in the car driving away, the day before's good humor completely erased. I was glad to soon be rid of the place and the rude gent in the car. "I don't appreciate," he finally said, "you spreading the rumor or playing this trick on me." To which I replied, "Excuse me?" He explained at length how an ex-girlfriend had spread around that rumor about strange parties at night in the beach house after they had broken up. With hesitation, I told him how the people had kept their attention on the closet. This made him pull over and explain how his grandfather had bought the wood from a traveler's caravan to construct the addition. In that, in fact, the wood was specifically used for that closet. Not only that, but these folks have been visiting him in his dreams all his life. I kept my own counsel on the ride home, questions speeding through my mind. Why hadn't he told me before we arrived? Why did he dismiss his ex's account? But most of all, why did he keep bringing new girls there to have the wits scared out of them after he knew? I knew two things, though, that day. I was not going back, and he was a jerk. Thank you once again for joining us today at the Patuxent General. If you would like to reach out with a question, comment, recipe, or local ghost story, our email is jess@patuxentgeneral.com. Please reach out. We can't wait to hear from you. We'll get back to you as soon as possible. But until then, I'll meet you right back here next time at the Patuxent General. A Something for Posterity production, pre-recorded in Patuxent.